Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
King Mabel is full of shit. King Mabel is full of shit.
Thank you.
Right on that Hoover that was!
Yuckity-yuck, McMannequin.
The British Bulldog is part of the new generation.
You may all bow before King Mabel!
Here comes the jackknife!
On lives the new generation and the World Wrestling Federation!
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review as the other Cultaholic lads pontificate on the Elimination Chamber. Now in the rearview mirror on the road to WrestleMania, we are here via the IcaPro powered DeLorean on the way out of the New Generation era. It's a bit like driving through a very dodgy part of Scunthorpe on a Saturday evening and looking out towards the motorway. Now we're on with Scunthorpe, but that dodgy part's quite dodgy. Hoopy wee! I be fake Geordie, radio presenter with that portfolio, Tom Campbell. I am joined by the mulligan to my Jack Atkins. Jackins, hello.
Hello.
Happy Monday.
Yeah?
It is a Monday, yes. Yeah. We're recording these now a week ahead, so my brain went, it is then. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Yes?
We're recording this on the 15th of February.
I'm about to open a bar cream soda.
Yeah, that's bar cream soda.
We are sponsored by bar cream. We're not sponsored.
We're not.
But I wouldn't mind.
But yeah, I'm all right. As a Valentine's Day treat yesterday, I decided to eat some coleslaw that was on the turn. And gave myself stomach cramps. Apart from that, I'm all right.
Was the good lady working?
No, she wasn't. We just
don't do Valentine's stuff.
So I did some freelance bits and then sat playing video games. And she sat in bed reading and eating a Snickers.
Oh,
the romance ain't dead, kids.
You are, yeah. You're living the dream over there.
Yeah.
We weren't going to do anything, Alex and I. And then sort of over the weekend, we should do something. So we went for an afternoon tea, like a Valentine's afternoon tea. And then I know I was going to tell you, we went to see Death on the Nile.
How was it?
Do you know what? It's really good.
Is it?
It's really good.
Okay.
If you love your Hercule Poirot
movies,
it's a very good Hercule Poirot movie.
Is he giving it the full Belgian bifters?
Proper bifters.
Yeah.
It's really good. They're beautifully filmed. The new ones are gorgeously filmed. And this one is probably... This one looks more gorgeous than Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, because I remember when that came out and I didn't see it.
Mm.
But... I've since, you know, like watched Knives Out and forgot how good a good whodunit is. So
yeah.
I think it'd be right up my alley.
Oh, it is, and it is a good whodunit. And a good cast as well.
Yeah.
Like a really like solid cast. I didn't know a whole lot about it because we just went, we should go see a film because all our favourite restaurants are fully booked because we've left it late to book anything.
Yeah.
So we ended up going to... We went to, as I say, afternoon tea, then went to the cinema. I was like, well, what's on at the cinema? It's like, well, nothing, apart from Death on the Nile. Well, let's go see Death on the Nile!
I thought the two of you would have went for a romantic viewing of Jackass Forever.
Well, that sadly wasn't on at the cinema that we go to.
Oh.
We're very snobby when it comes to the cinema that we go to.
Yeah.
If you are, I mean, I would highly recommend this for you and Sean, should you have a date night or an evening out in Newcastle. Lovely cinema, sponsored by Everyman Cinema.
Oh, we've got one in Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah, you know the Everyman, don't you?
Nice cinemas.
We can't go back to other cinemas now. We're spoiled. We have to go to the Everyman. If it's not on the Everyman, we're just going to wait till it comes out on telly.
See,
we are arseholes.
I've got a love-hate relationship with the cinema because I love going to the cinema, obviously, especially to a good cinema, but just other people. You lot out there, you can all fuck off.
But, other people.
But what we thought about with Jackasses, it's not something where you've got to listen to the plot and the minutiae and stuff like that. No. So we're just like, fuck it, we'll go to the Odeon.
That's fair enough.
So it was on there, it was just like, ah, it's Jackass, isn't it?
So. And it was all right?
Oh, yeah. I winced a few times, but and then we came home and pretended we were 16-year-old moshers and listened to a lot of him. So oh! that's how we celebrated.
What's the hymn one they do? They follow me in the wildest places.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Is that Girls Not Grey? Is that the hymn?
No, that was Girls Not Grey was AFI.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I am an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
He may not be wearing eyeliner, but he's wearing eyeliner on his heart.
He's a heartliner, if you will. So you do. We like to share the wires when we come down and do these shows. So like we'll talk a little before we start. But most of the admin will be done whilst recording. And I have notes in front of me, and Jackins has notes in front of me. Now, the notes on top of yours...
Yeah, I forgot to change the
Okay, date. That's fine.
I just realised that everyone has sat down.
Because I had a little moment where I looked at your notes and I went, have I done the wrong one?
No.
Because the top of Jackins' notes says Monday, November the 27th, and mine says December the 4th. So I had a little moment like, because Matthew and I did this once. We did, full disclosure, we did one episode of the Classic SmackDown review where we sat down and Matthew had watched the episode like... the week ahead.
Oh, shit.
And I went, Matthew, you're a week ahead, mate. Like, as you started talking about it, you went, oh, no. What should we do? I said, well, go watch the episode that we need to watch.
Yeah.
Keep these notes for next time. But we haven't done that this time.
No,
So that's a relief.
I can confirm when I get past my Observer newsletter bits, I do have Mondays.
Oh, phew. That's fine.
I copy and paste the week before. And then change the dates to think I need to put that. But I was sloppy kids, okay? I'm sloppy. I'm full of coleslaw.
A sloppy shop.
I'm full of coleslaw.
Bad coleslaw as well.
Bad coleslaw. It was like.
Are you all right today?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Like, yeah. It wasn't even poorly. It was just I had a bit of a cramp before and went to the toilet. And let's just say I blessed the toilet with my effluent and I'm fine.
I blessed the toilet with my effluent.
I've just been eating like a fucking moron recently. You'll know because I've been doing nothing but eating Easter eggs recently.
I mean, you have eaten a lot of Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Is it just that time of year where we just... Because I just tend to eat like a shithouse as of late. Like, it'll just be... Tell you what, like, I made really nice chicken wings the other day, like from scratch, ooh, like American style barbecue chicken wings, which I was really happy with. So I can cook, but then at the same time, at about 3 a.m, I had some blue cheese left over from the blue cheese dressing. I put that on a Snacker Jack and a bit of barbecue sauce. And it was 1 a.m. I was listening to an audiobook, just stood up in the living room eating this Snacker Jack. Alex is asleep. Pablo's walked in because he's like, oh, bit of food. What's going on? I'm just like, what am I doing? What is this? I get upset. I'm like, oh, I'm fat. I'm closed. I'm just sat in the middle of the night eating blue cheese Snacker Jacks covered in barbecue sauce.
See,
like a monster.
I've got to the point where I've always been like a bigger guy, but I don't really care.
Getting out of control now.
Yeah, Sian says she doesn't care what I look like as long as I don't get like out of breath getting out of a chair.
Alex is like, I don't care what you look like, just don't get heart palpitations again. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
We were in bed the other day, not in a saucy way, kids. We were both, teeth brushed and we just all like took it up and Sian just went, oh, I really want a cheese sandwich. And she got up and I said, well, while you're up, can you bring me back some crumpets, please? Just lying there eating crumpets like a squirrel.
Isn't love wonderful?
Yeah.
I think those are the best. Those are the best kind of relationships that walk all the lines of like you can do all nice things and nice flights of fancy, but at the same time, it is quite nice just to sit in bed and eat crumpets and read a book next to somebody that you care about.
Yeah.
There is something really special that comes from a relationship where there is silence. And it's
shuts up.
No.
Bloody shuts up.
Oh. No.
Let me tell you about the mother-in-law.
When she bloody comes around, no one bloody shuts up.
But it's something nice where you can sit and just be quiet with somebody and it's just like, this is nice. Just like the company's there and stuff. Alex has this thing and it happened on Valentine's where we were out and she went, we'd had a bit of food and she just goes a little bit quiet. I'm like, is everything okay? She says, yeah, I'm just... she's feeling dozy now. Because like, because I think she's always so mentally on,
yeah,
just in life. Like when she's with me, like she switches off a little bit.
Yeah.
So I always take it as a very compliment if we're out for a meal and she's just like, sleepy now.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm calm. Had nice food. We've had a nice time. I'm calm now. I sleep. So we came home Valentine's and she was like, literally, I went out to go feed Pablo and I came back into the bedroom. She was just in bed. I sleep now. It's like, it's half eight. I tired.
Good night. See, this is what getting old is, kids.
Yeah. Look forward to it. It's all fun and games. All fun and games. Let's take a look at 1995.
I thought we were just going to ramble on for an hour like we did with the last episode.
I mean, we may do. We may still do because we've got a lot of pop culture bollocks to get through before we get there.
Yeah.
So don't fret on that, Mon Brav.
Yeah, let's try and stay more on peace this week.
No. No, it's not.
Oh, no,
in fact, let's not even do
right
topical stuff. What's your favourite crisps?
If you're talking a traditional crisp, I've recently gone back to the majesty of a ready salted Walkers.
Are they really boring?
But you know when you just like strip it back to its base levels and you're just like that, you can understand why it was invented as a snack. Someone just went, thin bit of potato, fried up, bit of salt.
Yeah, but, I guess everybody does reinvent the wheel when it comes to crisps, don't they?
But for a fun crisp, it's a beef monster munch.
Oh yeah. That's nice. Yeah. I like the pickled onion monster munch because I like explaining to Americans, like, honestly, hear me out, pickled onion flavored potato, that's the thing. There's something about it.
Saying that though, my favorite crisps to get in Canada were just pickled gherkin crisps.
Ooh!
Just pickles flavor.
Pickle gherkin.
So when you're eating it, because someone was eating it once, I was like, I love a pickle. And I thought, let's try it. And a bit, and I just thought, oh, this tastes like a Big Mac. So it's like the tartiness of like...
It tastes like a Big Mac.
Yeah, when you get the tartiness of like the sting of the pickle.
The gherkiness from it.
Yeah.
That's a word.
When I'm next over there, yes, I will bring you back some.
Please do. Are you planning to go over there soon?
Booked flights the other night.
Oh, when?
September.
September. Nice.
So
how exciting.
A couple of days in Toronto and then a couple of days in New York and then come home and not do anything for 3 months because we'll be fucking broke.
You will be broke. So
it's been, what year is it, 2022?
Yes.
It's been 4 years since I've seen all my friends in Canada.
Oh,
so I'm just like, ooh. Half of them have moved since then. So,
but you're going to find an excuse to all get together. And
Some of them, because we're only there for a couple of days. I don't want to tell everyone I'm there, because then they'll be like, this night I'm with them, this night I'm with them, this night I'm with them. And Sean's just kind of like bopping along. So I'm just going to kind of like knock on the window at somewhere they work and just be like, oh yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And be like, I'll be back properly soon. Then we'll, you know, play pool and have a fight.
That's nice. Yeah, but you've got to do that when you visit home.
Yeah.
Like I try not to advertise if I go back to the West Midlands.
Yeah.
Because suddenly you're just like, you feel guilty because you've been pulled in like 4 or 5 different directions. So you're like, you're better just to slip in and slip out again.
Yeah, and by the time you come back off holiday, you're knackered and you need a holiday because you haven't relaxed or done anything.
That's it, yeah. You've just been on all the time.
Yeah.
Having said that, when this podcast goes up, we will be, presumably by this point, we'll be back from a trip to the Northwest. Because I'm not in work today when this goes out.
Oh, yeah.
I have my new hobby is taking Mondays off, it seems. We're going to Manchester. Going to go and see Mandelbaum. As a Liverpoolian, I thought you'd appreciate I'm going to Mandelbaum. But we're going to go and see Jonathan Van Ness, who is the guy from Queer Eye.
Okay.
And and he's doing a tour of the UK.
Yeah.
And Alex loves Queer Eye. And I'm hoping that it all went well and we had a lovely night. And hopefully we were able to somehow meet Jonathan Van Ness afterwards so Alex's brain could explode from meeting somebody she loves.
I've never watched Queer Eye. Is Jonathan the one with the lovely hair?
Lovely hair.
Yeah.
Lovely hair. Great outfits.
Yeah.
And he's just a ball of genuine goodness.
Yeah.
So, and he's in Manchester. So we're going to go see him, which I'm very excited about.
Fuck it, why not?
Yeah. I'm trying to do more things that aren't work.
Yeah.
In 2022.
I've been saying this to you for a while.
You have. And you echo what many others have said to me. And I've kind of made my New Year's resolution to go, I need to, like, I don't want to work less hard because, you know, I'm That's I like grafting. I want to earn me. I want to earn me keep.
Oh, wow.
As they say, earn my keep. But I do want to make more time to be off the clock.
Yeah.
Which I'm a bit crap at in general. I'm getting better. You know, I enjoy like Valentine's was nice because I left and then we had like a whole day and look at my phone and we had a whole evening together and it was nice. And I want to do more things like that. The balance needs to be redressed.
Yeah.
So we're addressing the balance.
As long as you...
You're quite good like that.
The main thing with this job is I just don't have Slack on my phone. So as soon as my laptop's like closed at 5:30, I don't hear anything about wrestling unless I go on Twitter or whatever, or someone texts me saying, you know, DDP's diamond cutter to sheep. I don't hear anything until the next morning when I'm back in work. So
By the way, John, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Love you, John.
After the majesty of Nelson Mandela with his Twix. That's Twix. Eat Twix and drink bar.
Yes, yeah. Sponsored by. I like lying in bed the other night and as scrolling through, Alex saw Nelson Mandela eating a Twix. And she said, why do I feel like that's something to do with you?
I showed it to Sean and I explained who John was. And she's like, you told me who John is. I was like, yeah. Well, this time we asked him to this. And she just looked at it and she went, Nelson Mandela with a Twix. I was like, loved the Twix, didn't he? And she was like, yeah.
I love it. Your conversations with Sean sound so similar to the conversations I have with Alex. I don't understand. As we were going to sleep last night, I just said, did you hear about the magical tractor? She said, what? Did you hear about the magical tractor in the news today? She said, what do you mean? She said, it turned into a field. He just went, fuck off, go to sleep.
At least that's got to set up in a punchline. We were sat in bed waiting to go to sleep last night and I just started whistling the Antiques Roadshow theme tune. And Sean went, is that Antiques Roadshow? Went, yeah, it's a banger. And then
it's a banger!
They found a drum and bass remix on YouTube.
No!
We sat there just going, fucking yeah.
There's a drum and bass remix of the Antiques Roadshow?
Yeah, of course there is, yeah.
Whoa, hang on a minute. Hang on.
So for those who are unaware of the Antiques Roadshow, on a Sunday on BBC One, about 6 o'clock, no one's doing anything. There's just lots of posh people in like Scunthorpe, in like Surrey or somewhere, and they're in the fields of a stately home and there's antiques expert and they're just like, yes, well, my mother left me this chaise lounge, how much is it worth? It's like, oh, that's worth 25 grand. And like, oh, fantastic, that's the Antiques Roadshow.
Basically Antiques,
it's very
Roadshow.
Posh, very British, and
it's got a it's got a very distinctive theme, which apparently there is now a drum and bass remix to. That's amazing. It works. Oh, I'm playing this to Alex later. They're stupidly creative people. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
And liked. 323,000 views from 13 years.
Yeah.
That's nice,
more.
That.
Needs more.
I was working for a radio station in Wolverhampton when the Antiques Roadshow rolled into town.
Oh.
We did a little stunt.
Oh, God.
We did. We went with the guy who was covering the afternoon show and I was in the breakfast show, and we labelled up a box, Auntie Belinda's fine china. we bought some plates, smashed them up and put them inside. So he carries them in. We're filming like him talk, and then it's me that comes up to him. This is with everybody walking around. And I said, oh, can I have a look at these? As I'm holding them, I drop them and you just hear this smash.
Did everyone go?
And you just see people walk past like mouths agog. So I run up. Did a little prank on Antiques Roadshow. Didn't make the telly, no. But it made us laugh.
I thought you were tight with Fiona Bruce. I thought she would have been like, oh, so cheeky.
Bruce, yeah, me and Brucey Baby, we were, but she wasn't there that day.
No.
Otherwise, me and Brucey Baby would have definitely got involved.
Get your act together, Fiona.
I am playing the drum and bass Antiques Roadshow theme to Alex. I'll tell you what I played the other night.
The lute.
just quietly played the lute. Hang on. It's the Wii music. There's a, this is a Wii music, but it's uncomfortable. I think that's the one. Yeah. So like this really messes with Alex's, and this will mess with yours as well. Like I just started playing this one night. This is why I think we're very similar. And she was like, please, she got very upset when I played this to her. Hang on, there's an advert for you. There's a YouTube advert playing. Hang on a second.
We can't
I don't
say
want any of these products.
We can't say anything about the adverts.
No, I played the advert all the way through.
Yeah.
as you should. So this is so it's if you want to find the video for yourself, it's me channel, but all the pauses are uncomfortably long. Oh.
Oh.
And you can't. Oh, there's this version, which is just every note is a random pitch, and you can't get a purchase on it.
It sounds like incidental music from Rugrats.
Ba, ba, ba. So I played that and she went, please stop. Please, it's making me sad. So there you go. Some tips to upset your loved ones tonight.
Yeah, we have very lucky significant others, don't we?
They are so lucky, you're right. Monday Night Raw from December the 4th, 1995. In the US music charts.
Here we go.
Mariah Carey featuring Boys to Men. One Sweet Day. So what happened is, Carey got knocked off the top from Fantasy. Whitney Houston went number one with Waiting to Exhale. And Mariah got the lads in.
The
say, right,
lads.
Get Whitney off.
Yeah.
And they did. One Sweet Day is number one. And it will be for a couple of weeks.
I'm sure it was around this time that basically Boys to Men could have just released that Wii music, but had soulful harmony over the top, and it would have got to number one for about 40 weeks in America.
They were huge, weren't they? They were huge, bless them. Now they're just men to old men. In the UK, in the UK music charts, Robson and Jerome.
Oh,
that's what we're all thinking at this point. I believe Slash up on the roof, number one still over here. The Billboard Music Awards took place two nights before Raw, hosted by Jon Stewart. TLC won Top Artist. The Real McCoy won Top New Artist before they went on to make Crisps. Coolio Gangster's Paradise was the top song. Top album was Cracked Rear View by Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, God, I forgot about Hootie and the Blowfish.
Janet Jackson won the Artist's Achievement Award. In the US box office, it's Toy Story, still hanging in there. And GoldenEye is still top of the UK box office. Mega Man X3 has been released for the SNES. These are the Mega Man 16-bit games that are good, but not as good as the NES ones. And if you say otherwise, you're so wrong.
Is the SNES one still absolutely rock nails like the others?
Oh, they're fit.
They're punishing games.
They work. Do you know what? Video games used to be really cruel. Really cruel.
Definitely.
Like, I think, I don't know whether it was the fact that we were devoid of other distraction. Where, like, if I bought Mega Man 3 for the NES, that would be the main thing I'd play. So that I wouldn't have my phone going off. You know, I wouldn't be putting a new series on Netflix. I'd just be playing that.
Yeah.
So it takes up a lot of your mind palace. But then it is fucking difficult. And there's no save states. There's no memory cards. If you lose, bye-bye. Back you go. Just unwieldy. I think later Mega Man games had codes that you could put in that would get you back to where you were.
Yeah.
But still unruly.
As you go against, like, Kutzman, Huntman, Bombman.
Basically, British Bulldog made the Mega Man.
Wily bastard.
I've designed all the bosses for the Mega Man game. That guy with scissors on his head, Cutman. Guy in the sand level, Sandman.
Oh.
Time Man. What's it? He's a herb.
The fellow with a shotgun, Zartom.
Zartom.
The main boss, Zartom.
Oh, stick a pin in our Tom. Stick a pin in our Tom. The NBA ref strike is over. This isn't related to our Tom. In 1995, the National Basketball Association announced the lockout of referees because of a no-strike clause in the CBA proposal. In December, the NBRA and the NBA signed a 5-year agreement and the referees resumed officiating games. So, a new agreement for referees was a no-strike clause.
Yeah.
They didn't like that, so they went on strike. And then they took the no-strike clause out. So, yeah. Job's all sorted. Galileo, 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 Piccolo, where did you go? Oh. NASA's Galileo probe enters the atmosphere of Jupiter.
Oh, very nice.
In this particular week in their air sling. So it's all a bit it's a bit spacy.
Yeah.
This week. So that's pretty much all that's happening this week.
Did it do the Fandango?
It did. Yeah. Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening.
More so, from our eyewitness at 11.
What is happening in the world of the wrestling?
It's a weird one because there's not really much news.
In fact, it's a quiet week in general.
At one point, Dave Meltzer even puts under the WWF headline, there's basically fuck all going on.
Because we're getting towards Christmas in our timeline. So at this point, like, wrestling every year just sort of winds down and goes into autopilot, doesn't it?
So the main thing was, remember a few weeks ago, there was the New York Post story about alleged witness tampering in the 1994 steroid trial. So Vince McMahon has responded in the most Vince McMahon way possible.
Yes.
A four-minute-long soliloquy during the Body of the Superstars of Wrestling show that aired in the New York market on December the 2nd. I found this on YouTube, and it is bizarre.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You found it?
It just cuts, and it's like Jim Ross going, oh, we go live to Vince McMahon. And it's Vince sat in front of, you know, like all the screens in the Edison booth wearing his WWF blazer, nice white shirt, no tie, button to the top. I think it might not have a collar as well. And it's just like, it's serious, somber Vince. But basically, it's Vince McMahon does the Vince McMahon defense. I am a humble, innocent man of the people. Just like you. I'm just like you. I'm not one of these bureaucrats who are out to get me because I'm a success and they can all fuck off.
The exact words.
Yeah,
they can all fuck off. bastards.
McMahon blamed his troubles on yellow journalists conspiring with vengeful public officials, trying to save face by coming up with a story about witness tampering that was as far-fetched as the charges brought against me. And it was, like, Meltzer even recaps everything, you know, gives his background, tells us what Vince says, and then he has his own notes. And he just puts, McMahon's conspiracy theories about the media and the government appear from here to border on paranoia after 3 years of believing that everyone who investigates him have all joined together to try and get him. He again demonstrated his other MO when in trouble, of trying to divert attention from the issue and facts and to try to turn the story into a personal vendetta. In this case, he ignored Newfield, whose story it actually was, and who has never even written a negative story on McMahon, nor crossed paths with him in the past, to go after Phil Mushnick, in much the way that when WCW come calling, really, the Monday Night Wars, it's McMahon versus Bischoff. But McMahon, as we'll see in the next couple of years, will paint it as we are the small mom-and-pop industry against the evil billionaire Ted Turner.
That's it, he doesn't pitch it against Bischoff. He sees Ted Turner as the enemy, not Bischoff.
No.
Bischoff's lowly. He's after Turner.
Yeah. So he's doing more of the same here.
Because that's a better look for Vince as well, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
To go like this multi-billionaire who owns this TV conglomerate is coming after little old me. Little old millionaire me.
Meanwhile, you know, Jerry Jarrett, David Crockett and all them are just like, fuck off, mate. And what you did to us, shithouse.
Everything is marketing. So everything is marketing.
Yeah, if you can find it, if it's Superstars of Wrestling from December 2nd. If you type in that and Vince McMahon into Google, you should be able to find it. Very grainy, you know, someone's had it recorded on tape and put it onto YouTube. But it's just, yeah.
A Savio Vega match probably got bumped for that.
Probably. But then when it cuts back to Vince McMahon on commentary. So he goes, basically, I'm Vince McMahon. You're all coming after me. And it comes back to, we're alive, Superstar!
Thanks, Vince. back to Vince.
Back to Vince.
Thanks, Vince.
So that's the main thing that dominates it. And it's just, I said the other week, for a big run-up of it, because it's all ins and outs and minutiae, and he said and she said and this, that, and the other. David Bixon's band's got a really good thread on it on Twitter. And he'll do it more justice than we will. So
Bix is very good for that.
But yeah, as well news-wise, like the WWF have been sending talent to Puerto Rico the past couple of weekends. They sent Hikuchi. And the past week, it was King Mabel who went down to challenge Carlos Colon for his Universal title. The youngster Carlos Colon. I know that obviously WWF and Colon have had a working relationship. Is this just something that always happens every couple of months?
To recall that WWF and Puerto Rico worked a few times over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
with a few WWF guys going down there for seasoning.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Savio Vega was very much involved in, scene, and he's come up from there. And they do tend to send people down there. It's kind of like just somewhere they can just send down a star for seasoning, or just somewhere where they can take them off the books for a bit and help bolster another market and sort of put them in there. So, yeah, I think WWC in a similar stroke to like how Smoky Mountain Wrestling was. Obviously, that's winding up now. So it's something they've done for a little while. And I don't know how often they'll continue to do it. Obviously, Carlos Colon's son will be involved in WWE in years to come.
He will.
And they'll also steal the concept of a Universal Championship in many years to come as well.
I threw that in because I thought, this sounds like it's like part of an ongoing agreement, but just in case it wasn't,
No. It very much is, but I think they've been ramping it up lately. Okay. Maybe because Smoky Mountain Wrestling's going, so it's one less place for the wrestlers to go.
Yeah.
So maybe they're sending them there instead.
Also, this week, the Thursday Raw replay has been cancelled. Meltzer writes, it was a catch-22. WWF never plugged the show for fear it might hurt the Monday numbers a little bit for people who would watch Nitro and think, oh, we can watch Raw on Thursday. There was no plugs. The ratings were competitive with what USA wanted in primetime, so it's gone. And the last bit I've got, because you said put a pin in Tom, and I forgot to put that in my notes, so I'll let you take that bit. Before we get to Tom, WWF received complaints regarding Bret Hart and Diesel using the chairs and Diesel mouthing motherfucker at the Survivor Series. They're trying to do a balancing act between making it a rougher product but not alienating any of the audience or the sponsors, and that isn't going to be easy.
Well, this is the beginning of a bigger change.
Oh, God.
In years to come.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll keep an eye on that one. Bulldog should be concerned. Ah, Tom is in the news today. Oh. Dynamite Kid Tom Billington, according to The Observer, will be wrestling on the 15th of December at the Stu Hart Calgary show. He will also be honoured at the show with presumably a plaque. But this is the first time that Dynamite Kid has wrestled in years. He, at this point, he is knackered. Yeah. He's living in England. He's knackered. He's 37.
Yeah, I remember reading that and thinking, Jesus Christ.
He's the same age as, he was younger than me when it was seen as like, oh my God, he's coming back. Like, he's packered.
Yeah.
Years of abusing the body and the system. And he wrote all about it in Pure Dynamite. Also for this show.
I've heard that's a fucking horrible read.
it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's a sad time.
Yeah.
It's really like... There's one bit that stays with me from Pure Dynamite where he talks about opening the door to this young, like, shy lad who was like, I really want to get into wrestling. I really want to be a part of wrestling. How can you help me get there? And he supplied him with steroids to get him bigger. That young man was Chris Benoit.
Oh, shit. Well, Benoit idolized him, didn't he? Idolized him. Like, I remember watching bits of British Bulldogs as a kid, but then when you get more into wrestling and everyone just says that crop, Malenko, Benoit, Guerrero, Jericho, etc., if it wasn't for Dynamite Kid, they wouldn't have a career. And you watch Dynamite Kid matches and realize that Benoit just lifted his entire moveset and just went, I'm having that.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah, there's Davey Richards is one very similar.
Yes.
Who has a sort of that Dynamite Kid / Benoit style moveset. Yeah. It's always weird when you see wrestlers compared to people like that because I think the history hasn't been kind to those people.
No.
So you always feel a little bit concerned when they go, oh, they're like Benoit, oh, they're like Dynamite Kid. And like, oh, God.
Yeah.
But really what it means is they're freaking phenomenal wrestlers.
Yeah.
Which both Kid and Benoit genuinely were. Let's get into Monday Night Raw for this week.
Okay.
Vince announces that the Intercontinental title is on the line on our show tonight. The 15-minute chump, Dean Douglas, who was backstage at ECW apparently a week ago.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so he's sniffing back around to get back in there.
Of course he is.
He's facing the champ, Razor Ramon. Plus, in response to cheating shenanigans and an attack the previous week, it's Marty Jannetty versus Psycho Sid. Sid being referred to by Vince as 123 Kid's psychotic sentry, which I quite like.
It was quite good, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they've got a whispery Sid promo saying, basically, if you want to get to Kid, you're going to get through me.
I couldn't hear what you were saying because over this, they were playing like triumphant Christmassy music. And as you've got Sid doing the whole, and his horns going, dab,
The sound mixing's pretty shocking here.
Yeah.
Fiery Jannetty promo follows a whispery Sid promo to get us underway. Plus, we will hear in our main event from Dr. Jeffrey Unger, Shawn Michaels' physician, who has alarming comments for us. Not looking good for the heartbreak kid. We open tonight's festivities with Bob Sparkplug Holly taking on the number one contender for the WWF Championship, Bulldog Man.
Oh, come here, car
come
man.
Come here, car man. Oh. Racetrack man.
I'll just change the oil or I'll shit.
Change the oil or I will shit.
Flex muscles.
Ooh. Change the oil or I'll shit. That's Bulldog's famous catchphrase. Holly gets loads of offense here.
Yeah.
Like, you'd assume he might be the top contender at this point.
Yeah.
Before you get to the finish. Like, he gets a lot in.
Oh, he really does.
A lot of love for Holly here. Lawler says that Bret Hart has never beat the Bulldog, quote, from Wembley to recently at the Meadowlands. There was a few wins on house shows, but that's by. The story arc they're telling is that when the lights are on brightest, Bret Hart can't beat the Bulldog. And I don't know whether it's because we've made Bulldog into such a figure of fun that it sits in the back of my mind when I think about it. Like, I don't buy that at all. I don't buy Bulldog as a threat to Bret Hart at all.
I mean, most of this match didn't do him any favors either, considering Bob friggin' Holly had him at arm's
length.
Yeah.
Bulldog should have fucking battered him.
He really should have.
He should have battered him through and through. This is Bob Holly, who we've joked about this before on other episodes, where like Bob Holly would say, "Hey, what's my creative?" And they'll go, "Oh, we've got nothing for you." Well, I've got some ideas. What's your ideas then, Bob? How about I be WWF champion and I beat everybody? So anytime he was asked about like any ideas that he's got for himself, it was always, I should be WWF champion. I should beat everybody.
But they'd just be like, but Bob, you're an arsehole. You've got a really nice drop kick, but you're an arsehole. He's like, yeah. Shawn Michaels is an arsehole.
Yeah, and he's champ. What can I be champ? He was an arsehole.
We've both got lovely hair.
Bulldog stops the hardcore Holly rot. I called him hardcore there. What a future echo. With a military press out of an armbar, which looked quite nice. Mm. Holly gets a ton more offense in on the number one contender for the WWF Championship. You'd be forgiven for thinking it's Bob getting the shot up until the finish. As the finishes come in, Vince McMahon informs us that Bob Backlund is in the audience campaigning. As he says this, Bulldog lands the running power slam to get the three count. Clean as a whistle win, eventually, for Davey Boy Smith. Too much offense from Holly?
Too much offense from Holly. It went far too long considering Davey Boy is number one. But it was a solid match. And I liked, there was bits in this. Davey Boy was doing really good heel work. As he walked out, people were pelting him with rubbish.
Mm.
But then he was just shouting down the camera. He was like, finished! And he was like, oh, best is, best was, best ever will be.
Best man.
You went a fat blep, go foot and just battered him.
Go and fight you in New York, in your house.
Oh, in your house. Oh.
I like the idea of Bulldog just turning up in Calgary. Hello, Brett. We've got a match today. He's not here. What do you mean? We're fighting in your house. No, the show is called In Your House. Oh, no. Fucking who did that then? So we're fighting in your house.
Stu comes to the door. He's like, you want to fight me?
Yeah, you can fight me instead.
Oh, no, sorry, Stuart. I'll see you later.
Sorry, old heart, man. Here. Tom's coming around. No, Tom.
No, Tom.
Get out of Calgary.
Have you still got that bear?
Get out of Calgary. I owe him tenner.
Can I feed the bear? I've got some fish in my pocket. They love that.
I carry it with us in case I get hungry. That got a fish in that pocket, pork pie in the other. Just in case I fancy a savoury snack while I'm walking. A bit of pork pie.
But the thing is, I can't actually get into my pockets without putting both of these hot dogs down.
Why is he carrying so much food? He's got little sausages in his pocket like Danny, like Frank in there. Always Sunny.
Keep hot dogs in there. Oh, I love Bulldog. I both love Bulldog and the Bulldog we've created.
The Bulldog that we have created is the definitive Bulldog. in my eyes, he's the definitive Bulldog. And he's facing Bret Hart in a couple of weeks at the pay-per-view. Jerry Lawler is at ringside interviewing Bob Backlund. He calls him Bobby at one point and adjusts his bow tie. He is clearly cruising for a bruising.
Oh, God, yeah.
What's he doing? Bob looks disgusted with everything. We're going to get a match between Bret Hart and Bob Backlund next week, but it's non-title, which sends Bob into a tailspin, screaming that he wants to be God again.
I want to be God again.
He's livid that he's not getting it as a title match. He says, we don't need more hitmen in our society. We need role models. He rants and raves. They desperately try to cut to break. We even get the guy holding a sign saying cut to break. Bob's ignoring it. They cut his mic off. And then Bob marches through the crowd, apparently looking for the sound engineer who cut him off. More on that later.
It was a weird bit, this, because I love Mr. Bob Backlund. And I did notice that here, though, he kind of looks like The Miz, but with a buzz cut.
But this, like a bloated version of The Miz.
This felt, I know they were trying to go for the idea that this was, you know, an unhinged lunatic, but it was a bit awkward and a bit slapdash. It didn't feel like when WWF do unscripted stuff, it's still quite slick. This felt more like the kind of slight WCW car crash, yeah,
I felt. Throat, yeah. Was it because they were screaming like, we're going to break?
I think
they've leaned into that little sort of WCW style.
I think it was that. I don't think there was great chemistry between King and Backlund. And Backlund, they clearly just said to him, oh, just say you want to be God, but he's just kind of not really had a point to go with. He's just, he was just rambling.
Yeah, there wasn't like a definitive point to make in that promo. Yeah. Normally, with these, I hear what you're saying, like there'll always be like a line and out.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really one here. No. It would just seem pointless to cut to him if the moment he starts talking, he's going to be cut off.
Yeah.
Like there was no point to make here.
Yeah.
Which was a weird one.
Talk about no point.
Go on.
Our next match.
Oh, wow. Up next, we continue the action. It's Fatu versus the Brooklyn Brawler.
1995. Oh,
the Brawler is the last of the WWF's traveling enhancement talent.
Okay.
Which is the, like the traveling Wilburys.
I'm so down.
They tend to use local performers a lot now to cut down costs, which is why you will see, this is why we saw like Rhino and Johnny Swinger and that popping up recently when they were bit further north of the border. So you will see like talent that is local just to save them having to
drive
them around. Yeah. But Brawler wears many hats in the WWF at this point. He's a bit of a road agent type. He's also somebody who can just chuck on the gear and go and lose
a
quick order to somebody, as he did here. Fatu, Brawler gets a touch in, but Brawler loses, obviously. Yeah. He gets flattened with a cutter out of the corner.
Yeah.
So many wrestlers used the cutter as a finisher over the years. It's kind of like, for many, a bit of a sort of a like a holding space for a finisher.
Yeah.
Until you've got one sorted, have the cutter.
Yeah.
Because earlier in the year, Underhurst Helmsley was dropping the cutter.
Okay.
Before you had the pedigree, this is before you started, there was when Helmsley debuted, he was using the cutter. Same one, well, not a one out of the corner, a bulldog one. It was one just in the center of the ring as a cutter. And then I think just a few over the years, like variations of cutters. We on the SmackDown review recently, Rhino made a dark match debut. Instead of using the gore, he used the cutter as a finisher. And it's mainly, I think, in that case, because Edge does the spear. Why we don't want anyone else doing this. They're not as worried about that anymore.
Yeah.
They were back then. I feel like a lot of people use the cutter.
See, I'm a big fan of cutters. As good as the RKO is, I'm a diamond cutter kid. So, and the TKO, I know that's an elevated swinging cutter, but I'm a big fan of a cutter. And even put down, I was like, oh, diamond cutter. But I did note, though, I was like, the crowd didn't care for this.
No, this feels like it's in the middle of a taping.
And I went on Cage Match, and after this, Fatu will only have, I say only, it'll be on TV and pay-per-view 11 more times until the gimmick is binned off in April 96.
Oh, wow. So we're nearly done with Make a Difference Fatu.
Yeah, so he'll become...
Hasn't made a difference.
On TV, he'll basically become a jobber to the stars. But on the house shows, he'll go on a winning streak on the house shows over Bob Backlund in 1996.
Really?
Yeah.
Fatu and Bob Backlund?
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. Mm. I never knew they even had matches.
is probably to get the chemistry. Because when he became Sultan, Bob Backlund was his handler, wasn't he?
He was. But that's like a year away, isn't it?
Yeah. So
I doubt WWE have gone, we've got this idea.
No, yeah.
For Solo for Far 2, but we're going to just sit on it for a year.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. But I think it was like March time, according to Cage Match, there's just the whole show loop was far too over Backlund. So
I forgot about the Sultan.
Yeah.
What a silly company. Yeah, so make a difference, Fatu. Making a difference in the life of the Brooklyn Brawler beats him nice and easy. Doc Hendricks is backstage, coked off his bin. He's about to reveal who has accepted Owen Hart's open contract in your house. But then we cut back to the arena where Backlund has found the sound engineer, awkwardly drags him over the sound desk, puts him in a chicken wing.
He grips him by the belt of his pants and basically just hooshes him off like a toddler.
Yeah. I felt very uneasy because he still had his headphones plugged in.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's all coming away.
Yeah.
That's all coming away. He should have unplugged them. Thankfully, nothing fell over. No cups were spilt. It's all fine.
This made up for the earlier section for me because I do love Mental Bob being feral and weird. But we've got a bit from The Observer about this because we saw earlier on they showed the clip from last week where he got Bret Hart in the chicken wing. Then on Superstars, he'd get Jim Ross in the chicken wing with Jim Ross wearing a sling on Action Zone the next day. So according to Dave, the repush for Backlund was one of Pat Patterson's last ideas. Patterson has officially retired and cleaned out his desk on the 1st of December and is scheduled to move to Florida full time. I didn't look to when Pat Patterson comes back because he doesn't retire.
He doesn't retire.
So
he's sticking around but still.
Apparently, Pat, because he always had McMahon's ear because out of everything, he gave him the Royal fucking Rumble for a start.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, the amount of stuff Pat Patterson did for that company. But him just basically saying, it's Bob Backlund, we should use him. And Vince has gone, yeah.
Especially since we talked about this previously, the click have got in Vince's ear and gone, don't use Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
So Vince has gone, no, I'm going to use Backlund. I think there's almost like a little bit of like, you know, I'll follow what Pat Patterson says, but also a little bit of stick it to the click. Like, you don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Although you do, but you don't.
And like,
little establishment of dominance.
And like, I was watching OSW recently where they're going over the inaugural, I think, Hall of Fame, and saying about James Dudley getting inducted.
Mm.
And it was basically Vince Sr. just said to Vince Jr., he's like, whatever happens, take care of James Dudley. And he's honoured that. Part of me likes to think that Vince Jr. has thought, well, Backlund was my dad's boy.
Yeah.
And he's thought, like, I can't just, like, unceremony. I can make him job and stuff like that, but I can't just hoosh him out of the company because Shawn Michaels says so. I'd like to think that. I could be just fucking pulling out of thin air. But
possibly. I mean, Bob would pop up loads over the years.
Yeah.
He was last in the company as recently as, what, 2015?
Was that the stuff with Darren?
With Darren Young.
I didn't mind that.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Gave us a great bit of theme music.
Yeah.
I'm not against it.
No.
Like Bob Backlund, GNF. And Backlund looked phenomenal.
Yeah. Because if he's
like 80-odd.
And if you look at it, what Fred Rosser has done in New Japan, where he's completely reinvented himself, and you look at what AEW do with Legends. If WWE, they had it all there, they could have easily just turned him into a killer.
So are we saying that we should reunite Fred Rosser and Bob Backlund in AEW?
I mean, that would be good.
I'm not against it.
No?
I'm not against it. If Bob's feeling up to it, that'd be bloody lovely.
Next time they're in New York.
Ooh. Oh, anyway, oh. Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Do that, you cowards. We cut back to Doc Hendricks, who very quickly reveals that Diesel has signed Owen Hart's open contract for In Your House.
Mm.
Could be interesting. I kind of like the idea of the contract being left open.
Yeah.
Up until the pay-per-view, and then Diesel walking out.
Yeah, but
flattening Owen.
Considering they're in a scrap and they're trying to... I did notice, though, that they showed the match card, you know, like the picture, the graphic, Owen versus Diesel. And Diesel is glowering at the camera. His hair is scraped back. It's not like fluffy big daddy cool. Hey, it was just like, look at this massive guy. He's probably going to rip Owen Hart in half. So.
Yeah. So it will be a statement of intent for Diesel.
Yes.
When he faces Owen in your house.
Yeah.
In your house.
Especially, the towing the line because he's still mates with Sean, but he's also you know, he's got the hump. So
he's got the hump is a great way. You've got the hump. It's the best way to describe what he's going through right now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We come to one of our featured matches of the evening. It is for the Intercontinental Championship. The champ, Razor Ramon, versus the chump, Dean Douglas. Presented by Twix, Tyco Haunted Highway, and Burger King. A match presented by Burger King.
These are strong sponsors, considering the state of the WWF at the time. These are strong sponsors.
They are big names. Like, yeah. Burger King is a family bit, you know, it's a brand that is known across America at this point. Do you want some intel on Burger King? Some intel on Burger King. Founded in 1953 as Insta Burger King,
okay,
a Jacksonville, Florida-based restaurant chain. They dropped the Insta when they ran into financial difficulties and were bought out by David Edgerton and James McLemore. And they just called it Burger King. Okay. Insta Burger King, obviously, because they want it to be quick.
Yeah.
Because the big thing right now is fast food.
Yeah.
I want burgers quick. 1957 sees the invention of the Whopper by Burger King co-founder James McLemore, originally sold for 37 US cent, which is the equivalent of about $3.40 today. It wasn't the cheapest one on the market, but they went like, we're giving you a big burger. McLemore created it after he noticed a rival restaurant in Gainesville was succeeding by basically selling a larger burger at a higher price.
Okay.
So he went, well, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Believing that the success in the rival product was its size, he devised the name Whopper because he thought it conveyed imagery of something big.
Yeah.
We're going to play a game, Jackins. Devised a quiz for you.
Come on.
It's called Whopper or Whopper.
Okay.
Right? I'm going to give you the name of a Burger King Whopper, a limited edition Burger King Whopper. You have to say whether it's Whopper, it is a Whopper, or Whopper, I'm telling a lie.
Okay.
Whopper or Whopper? This is going to be great if you're listening to the podcast. Roll with it. The Angry Whopper. Whopper or Whopper?
Thumbs up Whopper.
It is indeed a thumbs up Whopper. Angry Whopper has jalapenos, angry sauce, and angry onions, hot sauce, and then onions covered in the hot sauce. Also contains pepper, jack cheese, and bacon. It was in Europe originally, and then in 2008, it was in the US.
Okay.
Angry Whopper. Is that the right one I've got? Yes. A Halloween Whopper.
I'm saying thumbs up Whopper.
It is a thumbs up Whopper.
Yeah.
Released for Halloween in 2015, it was prepared with black-colored smoke-flavored buns.
Mm.
Christmas Whopper.
Thumbs down Whopper.
Yeah, I made that one up completely. Yeah. No Christmas Whopper. Windows 7 Whopper.
Oh, that's so stupid. It must be true.
It is a true one. The Windows 7 Whopper was sold in Japan for the promotion of Microsoft Windows 7. It contains 7 stacked beef patties, 5 inches high.
Fuck me.
£2.5 and had more than 1,000 calories in it.
That sounds both incredible and awful at the same time.
The Minecraft Whopper.
Thumbs up Whopper?
Thumbs down Whopper.
Bollocks to you.
Give it time though. Yeah. Finally, the Rebel Whopper.
Thumbs up. I'm saying it's some kind of Star Wars thing.
It is thumbs up Whopper, but it's nothing to do with Star Wars. It's a meat-free Whopper made from protein extracted from legumes. It was created in partnership with Australian company V2 Food for their Hungry Jack's chain in Australia. Because in Australia, it's called Hungry Jack's.
Right.
I should have looked up why, but I didn't. But
well, that reminds me, I've got a game for you.
Go on, then.
So this is a courtesy of my friend Paul.
Hi, Paul.
And it's called Sweet or Meat. Are you ready for a game of sweet or meat?
Hit me with sweet or meat, Jack Coons.
Mince. Is that a sweet or a meat?
What? It's meat.
Meat. Correct. Round two.
Because you could have said mince.
Mince.
There it is. Sweet.
Sweet.
Yes.
And that's all sweet or meat is.
Yeah, I win. Yeah. I always like the idea of, I wanted to create a radio feature called Nails or Nails.
Right.
Where you can't, it's a bit of like a battle of the sexes type quiz. It was an idea I had many years ago. It was a different world then. Nails or Nails, where men would have to answer questions based on makeup and women would have to answer questions based on DIY. Now, I'm very aware that the world has changed a lot since then. I'm proud that idea never took off because it's very sexist. But I still am married to the name Nails versus Nails. I think there's something in it. The great radio features are ones that start with a name and work backwards.
Yeah.
You start with a fun name.
Like Sweet or Meat.
Like Sweet or Meat. like Nails versus Nails.
Whopper or Whopper.
Whopper or Whopper.
Yeah.
Thank you for Sweet or Meat. Play Sweet or Meat with friends. See how you get on.
That's literally all it is. I tried playing it with a friend once and they were like, right, okay, I've got it. And they went, those gummy burger things. I was like, no, that's not how it works.
No!
That,
yeah. Rubbish, isn't yeah. it? Yeah. Rubbish. Dean Douglas jumps Razor Ramon to start this intercontinental title match sponsored by Burger King. Vince McMahon is speculating that maybe it's brains over brawn. Ooh. After all, he's suddenly coming around to Dean Douglas winning the title. Ramon catches Dean off the ropes with a fallaway slam, sends him out to the ring shortly afterwards. Douglas goes for a diving Vader bomb. Late into this match, the show goes to break. Interesting place to cut.
Yeah.
I guess the whole idea that don't... Because this is it now. It is a battle to stop people from switching over.
Yeah.
Constantly. So, like, literally, cutting to break when Dean Douglas is mid-move.
Yeah.
He's like, stay here. But when you come back, he's doing an abdominal stretch. So you feel quite cheated.
Yeah.
Incidentally, in the battle of... Actually, no, I'll save that and we'll put a pin in that for later on. There's a little thing I wanted to talk about the battle of the swapping of the channels. Mm. But I'll put a pin in that for later on. So they're keeping people tuned in. Vince dropped some topical content. You know why... Oh, Jerry Lawler, sorry. You know why the Army and the Navy are fighting so hard? The losers have to go to Bosnia. Vince says, we don't have any business in Bosnia. As Vince just talk about the wrestling.
Okay.
As he says that, Razor Ramon hits the razor's edge for the clean win. Ramon and Douglas seemingly both close to the end of time in the WWF.
Yeah, it's...
Sorry, Douglas, not Ramon. Right?
Douglas. There's a biff in The Observer. X-rays reveal that Dean Douglas has 2 fractured vertebrae in his back. Because he was selling his back all the way through this. But
Lawler
like,
mentioned a few times, like, oh, look out for his back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Douglas is saying, he's telling people he's thinking of quitting wrestling once he starts medical school next year. And I looked up, he last wrestled on February 5th, 2022. So
how did that work out for you?
Yeah.
Was he working at Target for a while?
He was working at Target. I think he was a manager at a restaurant or something. Oh, no, that was Scott Steiner had a franchise restaurant, but I'm sure the franchise may have... Been a franchisee.
It would make sense.
Obviously, he was a teacher and all that kind of stuff.
He's in all sorts, isn't he?
But it's one of those. It's like, I remember people were taking the piss out of Tony Schiavone a few years ago because he's working at Starbucks.
gotta get paid.
But what he said, because he was still, I think he was still announcing like minor league baseball, and he said the reason he did Starbucks at the weekend is they offered like health insurance and a pension stuff, and he's like, he just has that as his kind of like pocket cash, and then does his announcing on the side. So it's probably the same for Douglas. He was like, shit, I've been wrestling all these years, I kind of need a...
It's a weird one when you do stuff when you're in the public eye. Like, yeah. There's a weird, not so much a snobbery or an arrogance, but there's a weird pressure that comes from it. That should that job disappear, like, you have to stay relevant, you have to stay public. When really, like, when we were being sent up the road at my job before here, like, I was like looking at, okay, what retail management jobs can I get? Because I've got previous experience working in retail management. I'm not. It's not an issue. Just, you've got to go earn money.
Yeah.
You've got to go and earn money. Like, it was, you know, I'll go on, I want to earn an honest living and I'll go do whatever. Should something happen here and I disappear off the face of the YouTube, I will go and work somewhere. I will go and graft. Like, I've always been proud of the fact that I'm a grafter, and I'll just go wherever I can get work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very blessed that a lot of the work doesn't really feel like work.
Oh, God, are you?
And I drink that in every day. For as long as I'm allowed to do it. So far, I've been very fortunate. But I never wake up. It sounds really soft, this. I never wake up and don't just sort of appreciate it. I'm proud of the fact that every day, since I've worked, you know, working in radio and working here, every day I don't take it for granted. Like, I drink in every day because I know how sometimes fragile it can be.
Oh, God.
So I drink in every day that I do this. And I always take moments to look around. And even my worst day it would be somebody else's best day.
Yeah.
So I always take time to drink it in because it could be very different.
It's like...
I was very lucky.
I was on the phone to my folks the other day. And they're like, what have you been off to? It's like, just work, work, work. But the days go so quick because I enjoy this job because it doesn't feel like work.
You've got to stop sometimes, just drink it in a little bit.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
We do like a call home now. It's a new thing that me and my mum are trying because we tend just to fall out of touch as weeks blur into weeks. So we've made an agreement that on a Sunday, wherever we are, we will do a video call and we'll touch base.
Yeah.
That's a new thing that we're doing. The first one was on Sunday. I've been dropped into Radio Newcastle. That's at 11 o'clock. My mum rings. It's like, where are you? Oh, I'm doing this. So literally, I'm chatting to my mum and dad and having to stop just to talk, turn the mic down. And it's just like, and then you get a little bit of, you know, a bit of instant feedback.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You said that a bit quick there.
Yeah.
Thanks. But I drink, but then, like, I love the fact that I'm in a position in my life where I can do that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, that's cool. My dad said, oh, take a picture of you in the studio so I can show him in the club later.
Yeah.
Come on the radio. Come to the BBC. That's nice.
Yeah.
I like it. Anyway.
Although, you say that, talking of pictures, after you told me about your dad's garden shed pub.
Oh, yeah, the pub shed.
I want to see his fruit machine.
Do you?
Yeah.
Hang on. I might have a picture of it.
Yeah, Tom just mentioned yesterday. He's like, oh, yeah, my dad, during lockdown, just, you know, had a shed, put a bar in it, got a small TV, some speakers and a fruit machine. I was like, that sounds fucking great.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try. I'm going to try and find a picture. I'm sure he must have sent pictures in the... in the family WhatsApp. It was during the lockdown. So I'm just going to quickly... We will get back to...
Does he have a dartboard in there? Or is it just
not a dartboard, no. Just like a bar area and then a fruit machine.
Yeah.
Just positioned nicely at the back. When did he have it installed? It was definitely before Christmas.
So when you go around for a pint with your dad, does he sit with you or does he just stand behind the bar with like a towel over his shoulder?
Sometimes he'll stand behind the bar. Sometimes, just to mix it up, he'll come to the other side of the bar.
Yeah.
And we'll have a pint on the same side together. And then he's happy just to default into becoming the barman. Yeah. So he'll knit round the front and do it that way. Hang on. Oh, no, it's January 20th. When did he have it? He had it in December. I know that much. I've got a picture of... Well, there's an early picture of the bar itself.
Oh, God, that's nice. Nice
back. It's quite nice. There's an early picture of the bar itself.
Yeah.
I can't find the... Can't find the fruity.
I'll find a picture and I'll
share it with you.
Yeah.
I'll share it with you. Not you listening, but I'll share it with Jack.
Yeah.
I might. I'm only joking. So not long left for Dean.
No.
He's away soon.
We had to put a pin in something. I can't remember what. You were going to say something before the match.
Yes, I'm going to mention it during the Shawn Michaels bit.
Mm.
So a little bit later on.
Okay.
Brother Love is back. I love you. Let's talk about his weight this week.
Yeah.
Brother Love is interviewing the man who is facing the guy that he brought into the WWF. Nice callback.
Yeah.
Undertaker at In Your House. He's interviewing King Mabel. Mabel is wearing the urn chains. And it's revealed that the match against Undertaker at In Your House is a casket match. Is this news? I don't remember them announcing.
I don't remember them announcing this either.
It must have been something they dropped on Superstars.
Yeah.
Or Power Action Zone, rather. It must have been something they dropped on there. Yeah, so it's a casket match, which is cool. Mabel is the first, says he was the first guy to pin the Undertaker. I'm sure you weren't. And he'll be the first guy to shove him in the casket and shut the lid. Brother Love has a surprise for Mabel. Mabel doesn't like surprises, yeah. He says. Turns out to be a druid pushing a double-wide, double-deep casket. And obviously, Mabel's fucking livid.
Yeah.
This is a rubbish surprise. The druid stands on the apron and Brother Love unmasks him to reveal it's Sir Mo.
Oh.
To which Mabel's like, have you turned Mo against me?
What the fuck you doing?
What the fuck you doing, pal? And I get it. That would be what I would think.
Yeah.
You've got this druid. He's dressed. He's brought a casket down to the ring. Mo then reveals the casket. He pulls off the cloth from over it. And it's... Now, this is weird.
Right.
Because you're... I think we're going to be on a hive mind with this. So... It's a custom Undertaker casket. So, like, it's got Undertaker's name and logo and stuff on it, and that's fine. But then it's been, the Undertaker's been crossed through with spray paint and been replaced with Mabel.
Yeah.
And Mabel loves this.
But that would, if that was me, I'd be like, is that a threat?
That would, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. It came across, but Mabel's over the moon. Like, oh, it's a casket just for me.
Yeah.
Well, unless Undertaker having a custom casket was the mind games and then awkwardly crossing it out and replacing it with Mabel is the mind games returned?
Don't know.
Weird energy.
No, this made sense.
Weird energy.
And like Mabel wasn't the first person to pin the Undertaker. He wasn't even the first person to lock him in the casket. Because remember Yokozuna and all the goons when they locked him in it and he floated up to heaven.
Yeah.
So, but Mabel, mate... Full of shite.
Mabel, King Mabel, is full of shit. King Mabel, is full of shit. King Mabel, is full of shit. King Mabel, is full of shit.
Thank you.
So, Mabel and Undertaker casket matching In Your House. I'm fine. It'll be what it'll be.
It's a selling point for the show, I suppose.
Is this the end of Mabel?
Yeah. No. It may be the end of King Mabel. The end of Mabel is the Royal Rumble where he gets abducted by the Ministry and they bring him back as Visceral.
That's in 1999.
99.
We haven't got Mabel for 2 years, have we?
Apparently.
No, I think he disappears
Does
for
he
a
disappear?
Bit.
Is that his return then at the Rumble?
Yeah, it was meant to be a return. Oh, no, I think he'd been on Raw. No, he appeared on Raw in 1998.
Right.
When they were pushing Ken Shamrock as like the King of the Ring, as the King of Kings.
Yes.
So he was beating former King of the Ring winner. So he beat Owen Hart and then he beat Mabel. It was like a one-off appearance for Mabel. And then he came back a little while later at the Rumble where he was abducted and then he came and then he was Viscera.
Yeah.
From there on in.
Which I always questioned. There's like, oh, the Ministry, they're building numbers. They've got Phineas Godwin and Mabel. It's like...
I think Ted DiBiase's secretly running the Ministry. I've just got some guys for you. Oh, they're all shit.
Yeah.
Just one of the lesser-known Godwin.
Yeah.
And Mabel, who we haven't seen in years.
Crap.
We get a commercial. Oh, Razor Ramon, G'ing up Marty Jannetty, their new besties.
Yeah.
Razor and Marty. Is it because, I just thought to myself, is it because Marty Jannetty thinks Razor Ramon is Scarface?
Hey, Razor Man, I heard you got the best product, man.
Hey, let's hang out together. We get a commercial for the Raw Bowl. Da 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 da! Da 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 da!
I mean, I really should have looked up what this is, but...
Don't worry, I did!
Good, because I've just put Vince plugs the Raw Bowl on January 1st and it sounds shit.
Right. It's a bit shit. But it's also a bit good because it's a bit shit.
Okay.
So they don't explain what the Raw Bowl is. So this is just a little bit of additional research for the show coming up on January the 1st. So I'm going to tell you what the Raw Bowl is going to be, right? So it is essentially a four-way tag match, a fatal four-way tag team match.
Okay.
So four teams of two, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone is in football shirts. So football attire.
Yeah.
They're dressed in different colours.
Okay.
The ring canvas is green.
Right.
The referee is wearing NFL ref gear.
And that, like, hat right. And the whistle and stuff.
And the whistle and all this stuff. It's a four-way tag, but each team is allowed one timeout.
Right.
And then it's first to pin wins. And that's the Raw Bowl.
Has Vince Russo joined the company at this point?
Da 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 da! Da 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 da! So that's that. That's what the Raw Bowl will be.
It does sound shit.
It only happened once.
I wonder why.
So, you know, draw from that. There is a video, I think, which had like several million hits on WWE's YouTube channel, which is a little 3-minute piece about the Raw Bowl.
Okay.
And even at the end, they go, we haven't had one since. Like, even the official WWE YouTube channel knows it's a bit shit.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of good shit that I'm quite looking forward to watching in a few weeks.
It's a time capsule, isn't it?
Yeah. Barry Dudinsky is flogging cardboard stand-ups of Undertaker and Diesel. Imagine these guys in your room or in your kitchen. No. You could have them move past the window to keep the burglars out, like in Home Alone. Which is the one I got from Dudinsky's bit here. Well done, Barry.
Cheese pizza just for me.
Yeah. Keep the change, you filthy animal. Sid and Jettinetti. Sid and Marty Jannetty in action now. Sid quickly shutting Jannetty down with a slam off of a cross body. Jannetty counters a corner attack from Sid with a bloody diamond dust.
Yes, he does.
I have never seen a diamond dust in the wild.
I think
in American wrestling, at least.
I think there was one on one of the shows we've watched. I think.
Was there?
I think it was when we had our good friend Mike Staley. Because I'm pretty sure I remember just going, Diamond Dust! It's myself! It's like
let's go! Was it Hakushi?
It may have been.
Okay. Second time.
But still, a Diamond Dust in 1995.
Still nice to see a Diamond Dust. You hardly see them. They're like Diamond Dust.
Yep.
Kid runs in during the match. It's not a bad match. It's not great. It's all right. Kid runs in, followed by Ramon, who chases him away like Benny Hill. The match is thrown out, but Psycho Sid gets a powerbomb in for good measure on Jannetty before standing on the ropes and taunting the crowd. I thought Sid looked like a bit of a star here.
Yeah, he did. It was, like you said, it wasn't great. My main problems with this is Marty started on the front foot by attacking Sid.
Yes.
But it was very 80s offense. It didn't have any fire behind it. He was just kind of like, oh, just, yeah, you're down, wrestling. He wrestled him rather than fought him.
Yeah.
And then Sid did slow it down, but he kept the crowd, and especially with all the run-ins and stuff at the end. And I like Sid. I've always liked Sid. I like the master and rule of the world stuff. But I did notice, though, he walks off and kind of sarcastically apologises to Marty. He's like, oh, sorry, Marty, didn't mean to do that. And he laughs, and he looks exactly like Uncle Peter, because he goes,
sorry, Marty. Wolf Bart Donkey.
You're going to send me back to dark place.
WCW.
John, send me back.
John, yes, Sid as Uncle Peter in that bit.
I like the fact this would be either like the second or third time we've asked John to do an Uncle Peter.
John's just got a bunch of Uncle Peter pictures on file now.
Yeah.
In for the event that we need him. God bless you.
But the interference woke the crowd up, generated good heat. The storyline between the four has been built well. People are really buying into Kid being a slippery little shit now. So
yeah. He's good as a heel.
He is.
And he will continue to be good as a heel until he gets that X-Pac heat that he's very aware of.
Yeah.
Vince and Lawler run down next week's match with Brett and Bob Backlund, obviously reminding us that Backlund attacked Jim Ross on Superstars, the first of many times JR took a shoeing on WWF television. Get used to that, Jim. And then we come to our main event of the evening.
morning, a trip to the doctor's. Todd Pettingill went to see the doctor, Dr. Unger, to see how Sean was getting on with his brain. Sean's test results are abnormal and his recovery is much slower. He doesn't know when Sean will come back and he may never recover. He is such a high-impact athlete, there are concerns he'll never be good to get back in the ring. Sean has brain damage and any additional blows to the head could be life-threatening. Dr. Unger says Sean is not progressing very well. It may not be safe for him to ever go back to wrestling. The Observer gives us a little bit of a backstory on the Doctor, doesn't it?
They did a segment on Raw with a guy billed as Shawn Michaels' doctor, acting as if the injuries are so severe he may never return to wrestling. Dr. Unger is a real doctor from San Bernardino who has been around the WWF for years. So Dave's pretty sure he's not Michaels' personal physician.
No.
But in Dave's words... But he's like Dr. Sahorian in the early 80s and Dr. Paunovich in the mid-80s. Brackets, not that he's a steroid dealer. Close brackets. In that he's a guy who likes to pal around and to be friends with the wrestlers, will go on television and help get the angle over. In other words, the entire segment was a work. A very well-done work, by the way.
It was. The Shawn Michaels stuff has been a bit of an eye-catcher for WWF because they put up... in researching for the next Nitro review, I discovered this. The week where Shawn Michaels collapsed was the same week that WCW were running Hogan versus Sting for the first time.
Oh, God. Right.
And Shawn Michaels' collapse took place as that match was starting. So what an interesting way of getting people to stop watching Hogan versus Sting when they look over the channel and a wrestler's legit collapsed and there's medical people.
Hogan Sting as well.
Yeah. Hogan Sting still won, but the audience was very much cut off because they were watching Raw instead.
Yeah.
Because they went for something so different and so jarring to bring them over.
Jesus.
We'll talk about Hogan Sting later in the week. Well, you'll have heard it by now on the Nitro Review. And it was shit. It was really shit.
Are we talking Starcade shit or a different kind of shit?
Oh, it's a different kind of shit. It's a very different... It's a weird world. So Hogan is the babyface, but he's on the dark side at this point. So he's dressing in black. He tries to jump Sting from behind to start the match. The crowd boo the shit out of it. Hogan is doing like the hand cupping as if like, yeah, you want me to attack him? And they're all going, boo! You're a prick, and Hogan can't contemplate this. So I feel like he was meant to attack Sting to start the match, but instead just taps him on the shoulder to spin him round, and the crowd just cheer for Sting throughout the match, and they boo Hogan.
Good.
And Hogan's like, but Hogan doesn't know how to comprehend the hatred. But they always lean into like, I can't believe these two champions of wrestling are fighting each other. It's just the crowd is so divided. They're not. They hate Hogan. They love Sting. Yeah. They are not divided. We are not idiots. Speaking of not being idiots. So we end Raw with an emotional video package about the WWF stars, voiced over by Vince McMahon. What the fuck was he talking about here? It came across as pious, condescending, gaslighting.
Yeah.
And almost like, okay, so I've tried to, it's about 2 minutes long, this video package. And it's clips of the wrestlers taking bumps, falling around. Vince talks about how we put WWF superstars on a pedestal and treat them like they are bigger and better than we are, when really they are the same as us. Shawn Michaels has been thrilling crowds for some time, made us believe he could do anything. Now we just hope he will be all right. And we are now aware that we were part of pushing him over the edge. This whole bit is Vince saying, they're superstars, but they're normal people. And you cheered them to do wild and crazy things, and now they're getting hurt. I don't know what Vince wants us to do.
Cheesy music was playing as well. It was very cloying, and
there wasn't really a clear message. The only message I can pull from this was Vince wants us to stop cheering the wrestlers.
Yeah,
I can't.
Again, it's the Vince McMahon defense of I have done nothing wrong.
Yeah, it's how weird that we bookend this. He must have been on a roll with that thing on Superstars, because he then recorded this.
He's been sniffing his own fart, but he was just basically just like, it's not my fault that I put these people on the road for 300 days a year. It's your fault, and look what's happened. Shawn Michaels is hurt, and it's because you love him too much. Fuck off, Vince. This was
counterproductive in so many ways. I know they're trying to get, like, and Vince is really guilty of this. Like, Vince will so desperately, like, try and get an angle above and over that sometimes he doesn't know when to stop.
No.
Like, the stuff with Sean, that whole bit with the doctor, that's fine.
It was effective.
It was effective. Like, because it was the doctor going, don't know if you'll wrestle again. You can leave it there. But then Vince's whole bit about, like, we cheer these wrestlers, but they're real people. And you cheered for Shawn Michaels. You got him to go higher, and he wanted to go higher for you. And now he's hurt. We just want him. And now all we care about is Shawn Michaels being all right, rather than leaping off high turnbuckles. Really weird message. Like, just not a clear. Like, again, the only thing I can take from that is Vince wants us to stop cheering the wrestlers. And that's all I can take from it.
It's not only that, it's the fact that this closed the show.
This was this was the last part of Raw.
It was, it felt, the whole presentation of the Dr. Bick going into this Vince McMahon, bit, it felt like a DVD extra. It didn't feel like part of Raw. It felt like something you'd have as a throwaway bit on, like, the Shawn Michaels story or something. It was
I thought it might go into, like, a Don't Try This at Home.
Yeah.
It didn't even go to that.
No.
It was just like, don't cheer Sean.
Yeah. If they instead of being like, don't cheer Sean, if they were like, don't try this at home, then it could give them more credibility to say, look how fucking dangerous this is.
Yeah.
Not like that shit on WCW, which is pantomime. We actually get hurt kind of thing. But instead it was just Vince trying to suck his own cock, basically.
Which he's done a lot of this week.
Oh, God, he has, yeah.
Jesus. Mm. So that was Raw. We're still 2 weeks out from In Your House.
Yeah.
So,
what were your thoughts on this episode?
It was really those two. It was Sid and Jannetty, and it was Ramon and Dean.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of like the key stuff, and then Backlund, and they're pushing the Backlund for next week because now this is where you really feel the shift. Is it like we're now heavily pushing next week on Raw, next week on Raw, next week on Raw, next week. There's a pay for you, but next week. So there's a bit of that. Best match for the night, probably Dean and Ramon.
Yeah.
Actually, Apollo and Bulldog, maybe.
It was.
No, I think Dean Ramon, because Bob had too much offense against Bulldog.
What we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, especially from these tapings, because these tapings have been good. The tapings before these were shit because they were there for about 7 weeks.
Mm.
I think this has been a 3-week run and that next week's is taped, but it's already been taped at a different venue a week before.
Yeah, it's a bit out of order, a bit cock-handed.
But we've been saying that everything has a purpose. Everything's building to something. It's clear and it's concise. This episode felt a bit sloppy. They still built everything, but nothing really stood out.
No, I hear what you're saying about sloppy, sharp, because we had like the Backlund stuff that didn't really have any true focus. The Sid Jannetty match seemed a bit pointless because it was
a DQ finish. Yeah.
And then the bit at the end where Vince has just farted out this script about don't cheer the wrestlers.
Yeah.
I think he was just in a rush to do something and didn't really think it through. And of course, you know, Vince McMahon only has to sign off to Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And Vince goes, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, not knowing what was on the other channel, you'd think that if you had this in the middle of the show and had Raw ending with a big brawl between Sid, Jannetty, Kid, and Razor, that would be like a hot ending to it. But I think that's more kind of the next year or two, that's when we're going to start getting the endings like that.
When they start, when we really get into the rigors of the war,
yeah,
that's when we'll start like those shows like building to crescendos.
Yeah,
this like I get that you want to build a show around like the stay tuned to find out what's happened to our top star.
Yeah,
but then it's just like a doctor saying, "Oh, he's poorly."
Yeah,
there's not much else to it.
I think what hurt this one as well is that, as much as I love Razor and as over as Razor was, Razor and Sid were the biggest stars on the show. There was no Undertaker. There was no Diesel. There was no Brett. There was obviously no Shawn. There was no Ahmed. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's true. Ahmed's been popular.
So it was just... this was like when we talked about the old house show loops that you'd have the A show and the B show. This felt like a B show.
Yeah, I guess when the Ramones, the big star, is the IC champion, and then you got Sid and Jannetty in the mix as well. Yeah, that's a good shout. That's a very good shout. Bit of a B show, Monday Night Raw, but certainly an A show, Cultaholic Classic Raw review. What
as
you got?
Always, yeah.
So, time of recording, you're working on stuff. Top secret stuff, hopefully.
Just some top 10 lists.
Oh, yeah. Some sexy top 10 lists.
Because it's a bit higgledy-piggledy.
Higgledy and piggledy.
Because there's no... I'm not in the office next week because there's no trains, so I'm working from home.
He's locked in.
Yeah. Oh, I can't find my keys. Shut. So I'm working from home, but instead of like trying a chance... doing one over Skype, we're just gonna wait until I'm back in.
Well, you won't all being well, you won't notice.
I mean, I shouldn't have said a thing, but
nah, it's fine.
Trying to remember, because like Tom alluded to earlier, we record this the week before it goes out now. Yeah. So trying to say where we're going to be in a week from now, but knowing that in a week from now I'm going to be timey-wimey bullshit. Yeah,
you be right. We'll figure it out. Desert Island Graps. By now you should have heard Ethan Lawrence from Afterlife, who was on. He plays James on Afterlife. He was good fun. You would have heard Tekla, who is the SWA Stardom champion, who I had a phone call with from Osaka, talk about stuff.
Very nice.
Pretty showbiz. Yeah. We have Baron Black from Terminus coming up this week, as well as a lovely chat with Jesse Godders from OVW. Oh. Mr. Pectacular is on as well. A few others in the works for Desert Island Graps I can't talk about right now. But there's some fun ones coming.
The names that have been floated are, if they come off.
Don't want to say in case, spoil it. Mm. Don't speak, or spoil it. But until we are next back together to spoil it, he is at Brett Atkins on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. We are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. And as it says on the sign, sponsored by your favorite dog called Richard the 19th on skates. Captain John Luke Picard of the Starship Enterprise.
That's a lot of O's for one sign.
That's what she said. Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.